gotta get going. Do your seatbelts up really quick, okay? I was talking to God the other night in prayer, and I've been confused and a little worried about, in the world tomorrow, what will a language be? Will it be Russian? Will it be German? Japanese? Texan? English? Well, I'm convinced that the only language that will be spoken will be Welsh. And each feast when I come, and some of you are aware of this, I know, and you're anxious to hear what the phrase will be of the word. Each feast, I try to come up with a word or a phrase that you can learn and you can take away so you're prepared for the world tomorrow to be able to speak to other Christians. All right, well, I want you to repeat this after me. You ready? Just tighten the seatbelt a little bit, okay? Shatati, come on, Shatati, Ki Hedi, Kahe Kivan. Okay, let's put it all together now. Shatati Ki Hedi, Ikai Ha Ivan. That is good morning, you all, in Welsh. Listen, it's wonderful to be here. I can't tell you how excited I am to be able to listen to messages and see everyone. You were asked by someone to describe yourself in one word. One word, that's all. What word would you use? See, physically we're all very similar. We're similar to each other, we're similar to the people out there in the world. However, there's a difference because spiritually, we're unique. If you ask yourself why, because you are willing to obey God. You're willing to obey God. And billions are not. There are billions of people who are not willing, they're plugging their ears, they're covering their eyes, refusing to have any dealings or any obedience to God. Well, your doing this really classifies you as a living, breathing marvel. A marvel. Now, what's the definition of a marvel? A marvel is a wonder. It's an amazing thing and a phenomenon. Something very extraordinary. A miracle. Therefore, each of you is definitely unique. You are a miracle. Your sitting here is a miracle. We're very special to God. We may think, oh, I'm just this or I'm just that. It doesn't matter what we are, how old we are, how young we are. We're very special to God. And as each of you know, and we've been told through the feast, that we have the potential of becoming kings, priests, and teachers in the world tomorrow. I want to go back to that question, and this is very important now. I want to go back to the question I asked, how would you describe yourself in one word? Here's the sentence, I am a, and fill it in. Which word did you use? Did you fill the word in there, a man, a woman, a teenager, a boy, a girl? What's wrong with using the word Christian? I am a Christian. See, I find it fascinating that Jesus Christ is not ashamed of us. So why should we be ashamed or hesitate to mention our relationship with Him? And we do. Each one of us cringes a little bit at times in certain situations. Let me ask you another question. Is your belief in God a well-kept secret from others? How would you react if you were recognized as a Christian? Somebody says, oh yeah, he's a Christian, or she's a Christian, you know. Would you feel confident? Or would you feel fairly confident? Or do you feel a little bit kind of uncomfortable No, just a little bit squeamish. You consider yourself a closet Christian. A closet Christian. In other words, what happens with a closet Christian is they share their beliefs in Jesus Christ with people in church every Sabbath. But once they walk out the door closes, and so does their expounding or explaining their beliefs. We're all aware of the fact, and we've been told during the feast, that going to the Sabbath services, being at the feast, having a tremendous amount of knowledge does not make one a Christian. Does not make one a Christian. See, with our calling, with the calling of God comes a tremendous responsibility to share the knowledge that we've been given with others. Share it. Share it with others. I know what happens. At times, when we get into a topic or somebody asks a question who's not in the church, we kind of get a little bit timid. We get a little bit shy. But it tells us in 2 Timothy, you may want to turn there, but if not, I'm going to read it. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. This is a tremendous statement telling us what type of an attitude we should have. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about the Lord. That's kind of interesting. We're wearing the uniform, each and every one of us. I believe it's time for us to get up off the bench and to get into the ball game, to get into the game when the opportunity arises. When we have that opportunity to answer that question, we should do it with love. When somebody asks about our beliefs, asks about the church, asks about a particular doctrine, we should answer with love and with care and concern and in deep humility, deep, deep humility. Very interesting, though, that a swimmer is no better than the drowning person. No better. The only difference is that the swimmer who is doing the rescuing has more knowledge because he knows how to swim. If a person you knew had been taking life-saving lessons to be a lifeguard, or let's say for 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years, and he stood making no effort to save a drowning person, wouldn't you think that's a little strange? Isn't there something wrong with that picture? See, God has called each of us and has been teaching many of us for many, many years, 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years or more. There's a storehouse here of knowledge before me. It's astounding what you know. Well, shouldn't we be using what we've learned to help people in this world who are our neighbors or are members of our family, who are employees that we work with, or their acquaintances that we have, sharing that knowledge that God has given us? Today I want to present you with a challenge. I want to provide you with and present you with a challenge. For the next 12 months, look for every opportunity. Watch for them. Be alert for them. To share your knowledge in humility and love with at least one person. Some of us have never done that with one person. Try to do this before the next Feast of Tabernacles. Think about it. Think about it. It might be the fact that you invite someone to church. You find beforehand who the speaker is and what the subject is, and you say, you know, we'd love to have you come to our church. Or it might be the fact that you give someone a booklet when they have a particular problem that has the answers in that booklet to their problem and help for them. Or it might be the fact that you give them a good news magazine. Simple thing, isn't it? But many of you came here and are here because of reading the Plain Truth or the Good News magazine. That's as simple as it can be. So all we're doing is we're providing an avenue for someone else. I know it takes a great deal of courage. I'm not standing here telling you that it doesn't. I stood before football teams. We've gone out and we're going to play bigger and stronger and faster teams than we were. And I realized the courage that those young fellows had to put up. And I realized the courage that you will have to put up sometime to answer and provide an avenue to someone who's questioning you about God and His work and His plan. But there's a scripture that we must never forget. It's Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Here's a promise for us, a godly promise that can never fail. It tells us in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, rest assured, there's no problem. The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? What can man do to me? Acts 26 outlines three steps that we should be taking as true, faithful, and productive Christians. The first thing we should do is we should make certain that we aren't being blinded, that we are not being blinded. The second step is that we ourselves come out of the darkness, totally out of the darkness. I know what happens. I've been there. Sabbath is like an oasis. We're among brethren. We're among God's people. The rest of the week, where are we? We're out there. It's not an easy existence. The third step is one that I think about constantly and pray about. And that's taking God's hand and walking with Him. No matter where we are, what we're doing, we want God's hand. Because the closer we are to God, the more confident that we will be. The stronger that we will be, the more effective we will be for God. And our needs will be filled. Each one of you, everyone here has needs. We all have needs. I have needs. You have needs. See, we need to be loved unconditionally. We need to feel we're appreciated or we're of some value to someone. We need to feel that we're effective, that we're making a meaningful contribution to others and to the plan of God. We're all the same. We have different, you know, relationships. We have different backgrounds, but we're all exactly the same. Each of our needs and the needs of others can be fully met by having a close, personal, ongoing relationship with God and His Son, Jesus Christ. The closer to God we are, the more our needs are of being loved, of being appreciated, of feeling useful, are met. There's an old Welsh saying. You're not going to remember this one. It's heb you, heb thim, I die gone. It says, without God, nothing. With God, everything. Everything with God. If we're walking with God and we're asking for God to guide us and to give us the strength to help someone else, it's there. See, we're closer to God now, and we have more opportunities. He's providing this opportunity for us to serve. It may be a very, very small way, but it's a very important way. One of the greatest honors and responsibility anyone on this earth can have, and that's to do the work of God. Today I've presented you with a challenge. I hope you don't walk out of here and forget it. I hope you think about it when you're talking to your neighbors and your relatives. Challenging you to get off the bench. We don't know how much time is left in the game. We have no idea if it's a year or 2 years. But that whistle, final whistle, is going to blow. We've got to get off the bench, get into the game, stop being a spectator, to reach out and share God's truth and plan with others. We get it here. We're reinforced here. We feel it here. We live it here. We breathe it here. But we must share it. God did not give us the talents, the knowledge that we have, to hoard them to ourselves. Well, the challenge has been made. The choice is yours to accept it or to reject it.